Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, March 6, 2025. We'll start with a photo spread on the first page headlined Ash Wednesday. This consists of two full-color photos attributed to Joseph Ressler Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned Beau Bliven 1. Watches Ashley Bliven receive ashes on the forehead during the Ash Wednesday service at Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Decatur on Wednesday, March 5th. The second is headlined, Parishioners Receive Ashes on the Forehead During the Ash Wednesday Service at Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Decatur on Wednesday, March 5th. Decatur Schools. Board approves $80,000 Oak Grove Park purchase. Park expected to be part of Dansby Middle School grounds, by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Oak Grove Park will likely become part of the grounds of the new Dansby Magnet School, thanks to an intergovernmental agreement with Decatur Park District. At Tuesday's school board meeting, board members approved the $80,000 purchase of the park. The funds will come from the Capital Projects Expense Fund. The Park District is set to vote on the sale at its March 5th meeting. The park is next to Dansby, and when Oak Grove School was located on the same site, the school made use of the park, but didn't own it and couldn't make changes as the district can if the sale goes through. Clay Gerhard, executive director of the Decatur Park District, said the agreement is similar to the one made with the school district for the soccer fields at Stephen Decatur Middle School. Johns Hill Park became part of the Johns Hill Magnet School campus, and the soccer fields near Mound Road on the Stephen Decatur campus became part of the Decatur Park District. It was a trade at that time for property at Stephen Decatur, the Park District, was using for soccer fields, he said on Tuesday before the board meeting. We did a trade in exchange for Johns Hill Park. Johns Hill Park is now in the control of the school district for use by the school, as Oak Grove Park will be. Because it's an intergovernmental agreement, Gerhard said, the park district does not need to replace Oak Grove Park with an equivalent green space elsewhere. The park will still be available to the surrounding neighborhood to use. The baseball, softball field has not been used for park district leagues for several years, he added, so the trade won't affect summer sports. Until the sale is approved by the Park District, Decatur administrators are reluctant to go into much detail about how the space will be used, partly because some of those decisions will be made by Dansby Principal Rita Ellis after the school opens in August. But the space includes a playground, ball field, basketball courts, a pavilion and restrooms, and extra room for kids to run and play. During the meeting, two teachers and a parent spoke to the board about the teacher shortage and the difficulties that presents for teachers and students alike. Abby Steele, who was a former Decatur Public Schools social worker, said her daughter has spent considerable time in split classes and most recently a full day in the music room where she tried to do her work with music classes underway. Teachers who take on extra students when another teacher is out sick, or because a classroom has no teacher due to the shortage and no substitute available, get extra pay, she said, but she'd far rather see that money spent on hiring teachers to fill those vacancies. We need to find a better method for hiring and retention, she said. Human Resources Director Monica Wilkes and Communications Director Maria Robertson gave the board a second reading of the proposed school calendar for the next 2 years. At the last meeting, the women presented proposed calendars for the next 3 years, but after consideration, dropped the third-year calendar, Wilkes said. They did a survey of staff to ask them their preferences between half-day and full-day professional development, which was the topic of considerable board discussion at the last presentation. The majority of respondents said they preferred the half-day professional development. A final proposal for the 2025-26 and 2026-27 school year calendars will be offered at the March 18th meeting for board consideration. An item on the agenda for the board to consider, a contract with Straight Up Solar to place solar arrays at 6 Decatur schools, which has been in the works for months, was tabled. Part of the reason, said Chief Operational Officer Mike Curry, was because board members Alana Banks, Bill Clevenger, and Will Wetzel were absent, and it's a 20-year agreement that should be a full board decision. Another reason is that there are still a few minor details in the proposed contract to iron out before presenting a final version for a board vote. Superintendent Rochelle Clark, who has been on medical leave for several weeks, was also still absent, with Assistant Superintendent Larry Gray serving as acting superintendent until she returns. Coles County. Crowd brings concerns to U.S. Representative Miller staff event. By Rob Stroud, Charleston. The mobile office hours offered by congressional staff are typically routine events where a handful of constituents seek help with Social Security, veterans benefits, or other federal issues. However, the mobile session that the staff of Republicans U.S. Representative Mary Miller of Hinsborough, who represents the 15th District, held at the Coles County Council on Aging's Lifespan Center on Tuesday, was anything but routine. More than 50 community members turned out to share their concerns about ongoing cuts to federal programs and workforces, rollbacks on diversity initiatives, tariffs on imported products, and other issues. After the crowd gathered in the Lifespan Center's banquet room, the lone congressional staff member present met with individuals or small groups for 5 minutes each in a nearby office. Meanwhile, some attendees wrote down notes for Miller from those unable to wait. "It was empowering to see," said note taker Aiden Tariq, who was a senior at Mattoon High School. Tariq said he was glad to see a broad cross-section of Coles County residents in attendance. "It was a great display of community." Coles County Democrats Chair Mac White was also among those writing down concerns expressed by fellow attendees during the mobile office hours, which had been announced ahead of time via the Lifespan Center's calendar of events. "People are very concerned about the cuts that are already happening with DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, and Elon Musk, and they are worried about their Social Security and Medicaid," White said afterward. The residents there included Daniel Johnson of Charleston, who works in the wastewater treatment industry. Johnson said he is concerned that potential cuts to Illinois Environmental Protection Agency grant and loan programs will have a direct impact on small municipalities. Johnson said he also worries that the tariffs President Donald Trump has been favoring on imports from various countries will raise the prices on those products. He said businesses and local governments will then pass their increased costs on to consumers. "Basically, that's just a tax increase on the people of rural communities," Johnson said. Charleston resident Gay Harrison arrived at the meeting prepared with handouts regarding the topics of diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, which have been the focus of program cuts since Trump took office. Harrison's handouts noted that DEI over the years has included beneficial services such as wheelchair ramps, TV captions, family restrooms, infant changing tables in men's rooms, parental leave, anti-workplace harassment rules, size-inclusive chairs and beds in medical facilities, and more. Tariq, who serves on the Illinois State Trauma-Informed Care Healing Center Task Force, said the anti-DEIU measures have made federally funded research increasingly difficult by targeting words such as barriers, culturally responsive, and trauma. "Those three words are going to be in most mental health studies you work on," Tariq said. In addition, Tariq said he is concerned about how possible cuts to Title I funding will affect school districts that rely on this supplemental financial assistance to help them serve students from low-income families. He said a large percentage of Mattoon students come from low-income households. Tariq said he hopes that community members will have the opportunity to share such concerns to Miller in person in the near future. We want Congresswoman Miller to hold a town hall meeting in her district for her constituents, Tariq said. Most of us have concerns we want to bring to our Congresswoman directly. When asked for comment about Tuesday's interaction with constituents, the Miller staffer referred the JGTC to the Congresswoman's communications director. Attempts to reach that person Wednesday were unsuccessful. The Congresswoman's Mahomet office reported Wednesday morning that they have received requests for a town hall, but one of those meetings has not been scheduled yet. U.S. policy. Trump vows to press ahead. State leaders respond along party lines. By Zeke Miller and Michelle L. Price, Associated Press, and Allison Petty, Lee Enterprises, Washington. President Donald Trump's promise of bold, persistent changes in a range of major policy areas met with starkly different receptions determined by party lines, both in the nation's capital and Illinois politics. Appearing before a joint session of Congress, Trump spent more than 90 minutes on Tuesday night laying out a vision for his second term. He pledged to keep delivering sweeping change to rescue the nation from what he described as destruction and mistakes left by his predecessor. "It has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action," Trump said of his opening weeks in office. "The people elected me to do the job, and I am doing it." It was a welcome message for members of the president's party, who quickly issued statements praising Trump and pledging to support his agenda. President Trump and House and Senate Republicans are creating opportunities for all Americans, said U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, Republican Peoria. "Under Republican leadership, we have seen tremendous investment in our country, bringing high-paying American jobs to our communities." U.S. Representative Mike Boast, Republican Murfreesboro, said Trump's address sent a powerful message to the nation and the world. "That America First wasn't just a campaign slogan. It forms the governing philosophy of his second term." Democratic lawmakers, meanwhile, registered their dissent with stone faces, placards calling out lies, and one legislator's ejection. Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin delivered the party's official response, saying, "America wants change, but there's a responsible way to make change and a reckless way. And we can make that change without forgetting who we are as a country and as a democracy." In Illinois, where Democrats dominate state government and the congressional delegation, lawmakers attacked Trump's efforts to enact widespread federal spending cuts, including layoffs of government workers. "Trump, Elon Musk, and congressional Republicans don't give a damn about working people," said Governor J.B. Pritzker, a second-term Chicago Democrat who has been critical of the president. "Here in Illinois, I will continue fighting for what working families need most right now, affordability." U.S. Senator Dick Durbin characterized Trump's remarks as hubris in its highest form, and criticized the administration's rapid, radically different approach to federal spending cuts. "President Trump has claimed that he alone can make America great," the Illinois Democrat said after the speech. "Unfortunately, grandstanding does not lower the price of groceries or cut prescription drug costs." Supported by Republican majorities in both chambers of Congress, Trump has embarked on a mission to dismantle parts of the federal government, remake the relationship with America's allies, and enact tariffs that opponents worry will spark a North American trade war. Trump, who has billionaire advisor Elon Musk orchestrating his efforts to slash the size and scope of the federal government, said he is working to reclaim democracy from this unaccountable bureaucracy, and threaten federal workers anew with firings if they resist his agenda. He seemed prepared to double down on his trade policies. Earlier Tuesday, he enacted a 25% tax on goods from Canada and Mexico, saying he wanted greater cooperation to tackle fentanyl trafficking and illegal immigration. He also raised tariffs on goods from China to 20%. The measures triggered immediate retaliation and sparked fears of a wider trade war, apprehension the president did not share. "Whatever they tariff us, we tariff them. Whatever they tax us, we tax them," Trump said. At the same time, he sought to ease concerns about the resulting price increases, saying, "There'll be a little disturbance, but we're okay with that. It won't be much." Trump said one of his highest priorities was to rescue the economy and offer relief to working families. He promised to organize the federal government to lower costs on eggs and energy, blaming his Democratic predecessor Joe Biden for the situation. Trump also called for the extension of his first-term tax cuts and additional federal funding for his border crackdown, including for his promised efforts at mass deportation of people in the U.S. illegally. Republicans were boisterous as Trump stepped to the lectern in the House, chanting USA, USA, as the president basked in the cheers. Across the aisle, out-of-power Democrats mostly remained seated without applauding or making eye contact with Trump as he was introduced in the chamber. After several interruptions, House Speaker Mike Johnson jumped in and called for decorum to be restored in the chamber, as Republicans shouted USA to drown out the cries from the other side of the aisle. Johnson then ordered Texas Representative Al Green be removed from the chamber. "It's worth it to let people know that there are some people who are going to stand up to Trump," Green later told reporters. Some Democrats, including a number of those in Illinois, chose to highlight the impact of Trump's actions by inviting guests who had recently lost federal jobs or faced the prospect of frozen grant funding. Trump also used his speech to address his proposals for fostering peace in Ukraine and the Middle East. On Monday, he ordered a freeze to U.S. military assistance to Ukraine, ending years of staunch American support for the country in fending off Russia's invasion. Trump recited a letter he received earlier Tuesday from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, saying the wartime president wants to come back to the table after an explosive Oval Office meeting last week broke down negotiations for a peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. "We've had serious discussions with Russia and have received strong signals that they are ready for peace," Trump said. Wouldn't that be beautiful? In their words, Illinois lawmakers react. Many Illinois political leaders quickly issued statements either praising or condemning the president's remarks, depending on party affiliation. Here's a sampling of some responses from Springfield and beyond. Visit bit.ly/hr-speech-reaction to read more. Donald Trump promised he'd lower costs for middle-class Americans, but clearly that was a lie he sold to get elected. In reality, we're continuing to watch Trump and Elon Musk take a chainsaw to programs and services that middle-class families rely on. The same families Trump swore he'd protect, all while doing nothing to address the rising cost of eggs and groceries. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois. Tonight, President Trump addressed millions of Americans around the country and outlined his administration's first 43 days in office. Common sense solutions, securing our border, stopping government waste and abuse, and putting America first. The next 4 years will be full of prosperity as we get our country back on track. Illinois Republican Party Chair Kathy Salvey. "While I agree that government spending must be carefully examined and efficiency must be prioritized, the policies he's backing will increase our deficit by trillions and deliver massive tax cuts to billionaires and corporations, rather than provide relief to hardworking families. U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski, Democrat, Springfield. It was an honor to hear from President Trump tonight at this joint address to Congress. Thank you for standing strong, securing our nation, and always putting America first. U.S. Representative Mary Miller, Republican, Oakland. Every day I hear from my constituents who want me to find common sense solutions to lowering prices and securing the border. They want groceries to be cheaper. They want to afford their prescription drugs. And they want to afford a home to raise their kids in. They didn't hear any of that from the president tonight. U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen, Democrat, Moline. Food program reimbursements end under Trump administration, by Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. The Trump administration has stopped reimbursing Illinois for a program designed to help farmers and supply fresh food to Illinois food banks. The Illinois Department of Agriculture announced Tuesday that changes to federal funding mean Illinois is missing reimbursements for costs for the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, or LFPA, and can no longer run the Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Program, or RFSI. The state agency said the federal U.S. Department of Agriculture has told states it will not reimburse them for any costs for the programs dating back to when Trump took office on January 20th. LFPA, which funds the Illinois Eats program, uses federal funding to buy fresh products from farmers at a fair market value, then distributes the food to communities via food pantries and similar programs designed to help people in need for no additional cost. All the food produced as part of Illinois' program comes from socially disadvantaged farmers, including those the federal government defines as new farmers. More than 170 farmers have supplied food to 883 locations in Illinois through Illinois Eats. Brenda Stewart, a farm owner in Pembroke Township in Kankakee County, received grant funding through the state. She told Capital News Illinois she is most worried about the people who depend on her farm and the grant program to eat healthy. We're still going to grow our food. We're still going to provide what we can to our community, but not on the scale if they were able to receive, Stewart said. Pembroke Township has no grocery store, and many residents are on food stamps, Stewart said. She said IL Eats and her farm provide many of the residents one of their only avenues for fresh and healthy food. The USDA approved $43 million for Illinois to carry out the program for several years. But the state is still missing $17.8 million, according to the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The state and USDA announced a partnership for the program in 2022. The state has also not received $6.5 million for the RFSI grant program. The program is designed to improve capacity for food processors and distributors and improve access to better distribution markets. The state has established a grant program based on funding from the federal government and was in the process of selecting winners. There was no explanation for why reimbursements submitted after January 19th were stopped, according to the state, and reimbursement claims have been returned. USDA did not return a request for comment Tuesday afternoon. That program made the difference, and I would say to Elon Musk and President Trump, this is saving lives. This is teaching our babies how to eat fresh vegetables and how it helps their medical conditions, Stewart said. News that the two programs are on an indefinite hold comes a week after Governor J.B. Pritzker and Illinois Democratic members of Congress sent a letter to the White House Office of Management and Budget asking why the Trump administration was withholding $1.9 billion from Illinois state agencies, nonprofits, and businesses. These are federal funds that were passed by Congress, signed into law, and promised to Illinois, the letter stated. State agencies, small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and everyday citizens across Illinois, including in rural communities, are still having trouble accessing allocated federal funding. A federal judge issued another ruling last week prohibiting the Trump administration from blocking distribution of federal funding. The end of funding for the program comes as Illinois farmers face new tariffs imposed on three of the state's largest trading partners and retaliatory tariffs against American goods. Illinois farmers exported nearly $14 billion of agricultural products in 2023, according to the Illinois Farm Bureau. Illinois farmers' products, from grains and feed, corn, soybeans, ethanol, beef, pork, and more, rely on access to foreign markets and will undoubtedly be impacted by these new tariffs, either through increased prices or decreased market access. Illinois Farm Bureau President Brian Duncan said in a statement, "This uncertainty, coupled with an already struggling farm economy, has farmers worried as we head into planting season." Local briefs. School board candidate Jason Dion sets meet and greet. Decatur. Jason Dion, incumbent member and candidate for the Decatur School Board, will hold a meet and greet and fundraiser from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, March 7th, at Decatur Brew Works. Six candidates are running to fill four board seats: Anthony Albertina, Dion, Kevin Hale, Devon Joyner, Karen Lauritsen, and Christina Tyus. The election is April 1st. Kittitch-inspired events to be held in Rantoul this weekend. Rantoul. Quad Ball, inspired by the game of Kittitch, is hosting a national qualifier in Champaign County. College and adult club quad ball teams from across the country will compete for qualification spots at the U.S. Quad Ball Cup 2025. It will begin at 8 a.m. Saturday, March 8th, and 9 a.m. Saturday, March 9th, at the Rantoul Family Sports Complex, 744 Murray Road, Rantoul. Quad ball is a mixed-gender, full-contact sport played by around 600 teams in almost 40 countries. The rules, originally adapted from the Harry Potter book series by students at Middlebury College in Vermont, incorporate a mix of elements from rugby, dodgeball, and flag football. The name of the sport was changed to quad ball in 2022. The name refers to the number of balls and the number of positions in the sport. A quad ball team is made up of seven athletes who must keep a broom between their legs at all times. From 7 to 10 p.m. Friday, March 7th, team members will be at the Fringe Mini Golf Course, 849 Stone Ridge Drive in Rantoul, for an informal meet and greet where people can meet the players and ask questions about the game. To learn more about the sport of quad ball, visit usquadball.org. Herald and Review staff. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, March 6th, 2025. Please stay tuned.